When life gets tough and our faith is challenged, Pastor Mark Jobe is encouraging us to persevere and grow.
He had to break a stubborn, pride, presumptuous young kid that needed to get on his face, on his knees, surrender to God, so I'd finally look up and understand what it means that it's all God and not me at all. It's the grace of God, the power of God, and the Spirit of God.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. This is part two of a message about going into the hard places, testing your faith, and the challenge to persevere. It was given to the student body at a recent chapel service on the campus of MBI, and we're happy to be able to share it with you as well. To hear part one or any past broadcast again, visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. Now, with James chapter 1 as our anchor, here again is Mark Jobe on today's Bold Steps.
But if you break this word down, really, it's a compilation of two words, hupo, which means under, and mene, which means remain. So perseverance says remain under. Perseverance is the ability to remain under the pressure of the trials and difficulty and challenges when your faith is being tested. It's not a passive perseverance. Sometimes we think of perseverance of someone like, I'm just going to wait. Like you're in the doctor's office. I'm a terrible waiter, by the way. But you're in the doctor's office just waiting and waiting. We say that's perseverance. No, this is an act of perseverance. This is a perseverance that's not passive, sitting in a chair waiting for something to happen. This is a perseverance that's underweight and says, I'm remaining under this weight, deliberately remaining under this weight, knowing that I could bail out, but I'm remaining under this weight because there's something that's being developed while I wait under this weight, and I'm not losing my joy because in the process something is happening in my life. And I keep that joy because there's a character that's being developed in me. So you still want to stick with that roommate now? I'm getting too close to home. Then the second thing that James tells us is this. Not only to keep your joy, and by the way, it's just that inner contentment, not that giddy, laughy, I'm in love kind of happiness. This is a deep-seated joy that says in the middle of this, I'm not going to despair. I'm not going to let it turn to bitterness, resentment, cynicism, disengagement, or despair, which can easily happen. And then he says in verse 4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the second thing he tells us is really don't bail out on the process. Because as I said before, the gateway to maturity is through the crucible of testing. Perseverance must what? Finish its work so that you may be mature. If perseverance doesn't finish its work, you will not be mature. Have you ever walked away from a conversation and said, they are so immature? They are so immature. A lot of girls say that about guys. They are so immature. When they're dating them especially. What are we saying by immature? We're saying that they should be acting like an adult, but they still have junior high tendencies. And what James is saying is that hupomone must finish or complete its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, because if you bail out halfway through the process, you will not be complete. When my boys were young, I used to cut their hair. I was saving a few bucks. Bought myself a hair cutting kit. They're like 3 or 4 years old. So it wasn't the best haircut in the world. They didn't know. But I tell you, they were anxious, didn't want to sit, antsy. Dad, are you done? And I'm like, okay, I'm not an expert here. It takes me a little while. Dad, you clipped my ear. Oh, you're not bleeding. Get over it. It's okay. And there were times, and we tried to give them a cookie. Dad, moving, starting, and I would trying to cut their hair. And sometimes I just tell my wife, I'm done. And she would say, you can't leave him halfway done. Look at his head. He only has half a haircut. I said, if he can't stay still, I'm done. And she said, no, you cannot leave him halfway done. And I think sometimes in our spiritual walk and sometimes in our journey, and right now I'm speaking to someone here, that you are in the process of being developed and that God is halfway done with you, but not completely done, and you want to bail out because it's difficult, it's challenging, your faith is being tested, and you are going through a crisis of faith trying to integrate what you believe with what's out there, your calling, what this is all about, and can you hold on? And if you bail out halfway through the process, you only get halfway done, and you continue in immaturity. And what James is telling us is that you have to allow perseverance to open up the door to develop character in your life so that you can experience maturity and you would be complete, not lacking anything. In other words, you'll be much more like Jesus. Have its full effect. And character developed in the crucible of testing, and there's no shortcut, by the way. So if you're here studying at Moody, 19, 20, 23, 24, 25 years old, however old you are, but it's a time where you're developing what you believe, your character, your integrity, you're working through things. The foundation that you're laying right now is the foundation that you build on. I hear people say, well, when I get out, when I'm in the real world. No, you are in the real world. You are in the real world. What you develop now, in this setting, is what you will carry over into the next setting. Don't think that if you finally get out and decide and you end up in some remote part of the world that a lightning of spirituality is going to hit you. And suddenly, now that you're in Afghanistan, you're going to pray more and read the Bible more, walk in the Spirit, be full of joy. It doesn't work that way. What you develop now, here, at this time, this is the platform that you're building on. And so he says, let it have its full work. I vividly recall a student that started at the same time I started. And I thought he really was pretty on fire and he was excited, wanted to go into youth ministry. And he talked about getting out and helping troubled youth and wanted to mentor them and how he had gone through his own challenges and struggles before. And so we hit it off. We talked. I wasn't super good friends with them, but we would occasionally talk. And about maybe 7 months into it, he came up to my floor. He wanted to talk. I saw him. He said, hey, by the way, I just wanted to say bye. I said, bye? Where are you going? He said, I'm dropping out. I was like, dropping out? Why? Are you transferring to another school? He said, no. He said, I don't know what I believe anymore. I said, wait, hold on. You don't know what you believe anymore? No, I don't know what I believe. I'm not sure what I believe. Maybe it was a mistake to come here. I'm struggling with my faith. And I tried to encourage him. I prayed with him a little bit, and he was just kind of half-hearted about it, and then he left. And I thought to myself, how could that happen? I mean, he's at a place with a bunch of Christians, hearing the Bible, chapel, good teaching. And I don't know. I don't know what would have happened if he would have stayed. I wish I could have convinced him, and maybe he's serving God now. Maybe he circled around. Maybe. I don't know. But I do know that there's a perseverance that says in the middle of this trying, this testing of my faith, this place that I go through questions, and everybody goes through them. And maybe it's not your moment right now to test it, but there will be a moment in your time where you will test, you will question, you will wonder. There will be moments in your life where doubt will come in, where you will wonder about your faith and your destiny, and you're going to be tested to the umpteenth degree. It happens to everybody. And some people grow cynical on the other side. And there's all kinds of reasons of why. People that hurt you didn't follow through, the church isn't loving enough, accepting enough, people didn't minister to you. If this is Christianity, look at how hypocritical that person is. I've heard them all. But the bottom line is you take responsibility for your own spiritual life. This is not anybody else's responsibility. You take responsibility for your heart before God. Even in a broken, messed up world, by the way, including the church and its people, broken, messed up, dysfunctional, full of issues, just like you.
We're learning what it means to take responsibility for your faith before God here on Bold Steps. The conclusion to our lesson is just ahead, but first, let me invite you to visit our website at boldstepsradio.org. We have so many new features. There are ministry opportunities there and special resources that we want you to check out, including, Mark, your weekly email devotional, the Bold Stepper Weekly.
Yeah, that's right. Every Monday morning, it comes to you, a devotional thought and encouragement, sometimes an update on a ministry opportunity. Like this week, we talk about the Called Conference for Women that's happening here at the Moody Bible Institute on Saturday, April 13th. So if you're a woman in ministry and you need some refreshing encouragement, join hundreds of other women that come together. It's live in person on the campus of Moody Bible Institute. I think you'll be inspired, refreshed, encouraged, and you can find out more information at moodyconferences.com.
Once again, moodyconferences.com. So much God is doing these days, and we want you to be a part of it. Sign up for this Bold Stepper Weekly and check out all the other faith-building resources and opportunities we have available at boldstepsradio.org. Mark, thank you, but let's get back to your message. Which way are you leaning in your faith when difficult times come? Here's Mark Job.
Don't bail out. God's doing something. And let me close with this. Because I love what he says sort of at the end. If anybody of you lacks wisdom, which we will when we're going through a trial, he should ask God who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So learn to ask for help. This is specifically and particularly talking about asking God for help. The testing of your faith can push you away from your faith or into your faith. It really has to do which way are you going to lean. You going to lean away or are you going to lean in? Because the testing is going to come. But you have to choose, am I going to lean towards my faith or I'm going to lean away from my faith? You have to go through this alone, by the way. You must experience the pressure, but you should not walk through it alone. You alone must experience the pressure, but you shouldn't walk through it alone. And I guess that's what I want to make sure you hear me say today, is that I expect you to go through a time of testing. I expect your faith to be rocked to its core. I've lived in the city of Chicago for a long time. I mean, I've been there when some kid just got their head blown off on a street corner in gang violence, and I have a mother come to me weeping, sobbing, rocking back and forth, saying, why, why, why? And I don't know why. And I've had to lean in. Lean in. Say, this is a crazy messed up world we live in. But I lean in, even when I don't understand, towards the God that I'm choosing to trust. And he says, ask for wisdom. Ask. I love the fact that he says, and he gives generously without finding fault. He's not saying, oh, it's you again. Oh, man. God doesn't roll his eyes. Thank God he doesn't. Oh, you again. Last semester it was that issue. Now it's this issue. Without finding fault, he doesn't go through your track record to see where you failed and said, I'm going to withhold my wisdom and not meet you in your point because you have been so inconsistent. He says, without finding fault, he gives wisdom liberally. Wisdom is the ability, it's different than knowledge, it's the ability to be able to discern what to do in difficult times. And by the way, I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And notice, I love the fact that God says you're going to find grace. Unmerited, undeserved favor comes from the throne of God when we press in and come before him. It doesn't explicitly say it in this passage, but later on in James, it talks a lot about this, by the way. But I want to just remind you that not only you go to God, but as Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, there's certain things that you have to handle. It's your thing to handle, but you don't have to walk through it alone. There's a power when you open up and share and talk. There's a power in community. It doesn't take away the struggle. It doesn't relieve you from the battle, internal battle, but at least it gives a context of other people saying, I got it. I'm praying for you. I know. I've been through it. Your struggle isn't that unique, can I tell you? You think no one else has gone through this? Chances are they have. No one else understands. I'm pretty much guessing there's a lot of people that understand and have been through similar struggles. So listen, I'm praying for your crisis moment. I want you to battle with God. I want you to struggle over your destiny. I want you, your faith to be tested. Like I used to tell my one son who was really in high school trying to figure out his faith, I would say, son, kick the tires of Christianity as hard as you want. They're not frail. Kick them hard. This is not a flimsy. And he felt, I think, guilty for questioning. And I would say, kick them harder, harder, harder. This is a faith that endures. It's a strong, it's a solid, it's a robust faith that's been tried and tested. It's not this frail thing like, oh, don't go there, it may fall apart. No, that's not our faith. Kick it. Kick it hard. This is a faith that endures, that stands strong, a God that is robust. He's not flimsy. He's not going to get afraid. He's not offended. He's not going to say, oh, that's a microaggression. No, he's not going to say that against you. Kick it. And I'm praying that you go through it. I'm praying that God takes you through it. I'm praying that you wrestle with your destiny, wrestle with your call like I did when I was here, where I wanted to bail out after my first semester. I wanted to leave it partly because God was digging at some difficult things in my heart, going to the hard places, and I didn't want him to. I was afraid what it meant to follow God in full surrender. I was afraid that God was going to get a hold of me in ways that I didn't want him to get a hold of me. And after my first semester, I was thinking, I'm going to transfer out, but thank God I didn't, because God had much more work to do. He had to break a stubborn, pride, presumptuous young kid that needed to get on his face, on his knees, surrender to God, get a hold of my heart, bring me to the end of myself so I'd finally look up and understand what it means that it's all God and not me at all. It's the grace of God, the power of God, and the Spirit of God. So can we stand together? So don't be afraid of the crisis, the testing. Anticipate it. Like my friend going through his MRI. That's going to happen. It's going to be scary.
It's going to test you to your core.
It'll be painful.
There will be pressure. I don't know how it will come, but it will come. But I want you to know in the midst of it that God is doing something in your life. If you don't bail out, if you don't get cynical and bitter and resentful, disengaged, disavowed, and although you have to experience it yourself, remember that you don't have to go through it alone. And I'm praying that some of you will point to your time here at Moody and say, the greatest testing of my faith came while I was at that place. I'm so grateful I went through it. So, Father, I pray for these men and women. Men and women of God in the making. I pray for those that are in the middle of their test right now. Maybe they've been afraid to tell anybody about how severe and deep this test really is. But I pray even now that you would remind them, listen, they're not alone. I pray that you would speak by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, speaking what they need to hear now. I pray that for those that you're preparing to go through that test, those that you're drawing into that vortex of testing of your faith because you're developing maturity and you have to burn some things out of our lives and have us crucify some things, preparing us, God, for our calling, for our marriage, for our children before we even have them, for the heart of a father, a godly woman, whatever your callings are upon our life, God. So we embrace it, Lord Jesus. And we ask that in the midst of it, Lord, we would not bail out, that we would persevere. I thank you in advance for what you're doing in the lives of all these that are here in this auditorium and maybe some of those that may be listening via live stream today. We honor you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's our teacher and president of Moody Bible Institute, Mark Job, on Bold Steps, helping us to look ahead to anticipate the trials that will come to our faith. Mark, as we said earlier, this message was geared to students, but there's truth here for any believer that our lives are going to be tested.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to this broadcast, I want to encourage you, plead with you, actually, to pray for the students at the Moody Bible Institute. We have a whole bunch of students. They're leaders in the making that are being shaped. This is a challenging time for many of them. Some of our international students that are out of their setting. Some are from real small towns, have come to Chicago. They're wrestling through what it means to be shaped by God. And it's a phenomenal place, but it's a place of testing. Yeah, so thank you so much for those of you that are praying for the students that are being shaped and formed even right now. We'd love to hear from you. We read every email that comes in. And so if you would like to tell us, hey, I'm praying for those students, or if you would like to even support in any way, please go to boldsteps@moody.edu. We love to hear from our listeners. Thank you.
That's our email address, boldsteps@moody.edu. Mark, think of the difference that these students will make in their generation to come.
Oh, yeah. I look at the potential of these students and I think, wow, the people that they're going to touch, I can't even envision, if God really gets a hold of these students, how many tens of thousands of people they're going to influence.
That's a great challenge. Well, you know, one of the ways that we're working to help empower listeners here at Bold Steps to go out and do more for God's kingdom is by equipping you with resources that will help you grow closer in your connection with God. And that's why right now we're helping you say goodbye to monotonous prayers and hello to a dynamic and fulfilling prayer life with Dr. Bill Thrasher's book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. Love the title. This comprehensive guide offers practical strategies and valuable tools. There's also inspiring insights to help you reignite your prayer routine and strengthen your spiritual connection. So if you have been feeling like your prayers are falling flat or your quiet time with God has gotten too quiet, Take a stand today and request your copy of How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. We'll send you a copy when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. Just give us a call at 800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. Or go online to boldstepsradio.org. Or put your donation in an envelope along with your request for the book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, and mail it to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. I'm Wade Shepherd. Join us again tomorrow as we prepare for Easter weekend with a Good Friday message from Mark called The King is Coming. Don't miss tomorrow's edition of Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.